Welcome to the Feeling is Mutual podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Bedeker, Vice President of Marketing at First Federal Savings Bank. We are a community bank with a mutual charter. If you thought banking was boring, the feeling is mutual. But we're here to take the boring out of banking. In this podcast, we will bring our listeners real-life stories and education on financial topics. And it's all going to be delivered in a quick, fun, and interesting format. Hello, this is Tracy Bedeker, your host of The Feeling is Mutual. And once again, we are here to finish up our series on adulting after graduation. So today we're going to continue our series and more specifically explore the fascinating world of consumer loans. And to help us navigate through all of this, we have our very own AVP of Loan Servicing, Brock Pack. Hello, Brock.
Hello, Tracy. Thrilled to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And as many of our guests, we all come with a lot of experience. So before we get into all of the information we need to know about consumer loans, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience here at the bank?
Sure. So I've been with First Federal Savings Bank for 13 years. Just before that, I was in the Army as a financial specialist for 4.5 years and just been working in finance my whole career. I'm a finance guy.
I know that. You just love it too, don't you?
I do.
You educate all of our employees and we appreciate it very much. So as you know, we are finishing up our Series 3. We started with insurance information for all of our new college graduates. Maybe you're going to school or maybe you're thinking about taking that career track. So Chris Baxter had some wonderful information for us. And next we had Jennifer Craig. We were also lucky to have her daughter, Miranda, who is now on her own and taking a look at all of her deposit accounts that all of those graduates need to be made aware of. So why don't we take a look at consumer loan products? And Brock, what in particular do our graduates who are in their 20s need to know?
Great question. So consumer loan products are financial tools that can support your financial growth. They can help establish and build credit, making those large purchases more manageable, and even reduce higher interest debts like credit cards. And as you start taking charge of your financial future, understanding and utilizing these products wisely can be a real game changer.
And I think that's the important thing, too, because I think all college graduates, as soon as they leave the nest, usually what they get is that very first credit card.
Right.
And sometimes they think it's free money and don't always.
Yeah, do I have to pay that back?
So I think the more that we can build wise financial habits and making sure that what you do now can affect you later.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's what you do such a great job of, is kind of making sure people know how to use it wisely. But if they do get off track, I think you're very good about giving them some helpful advice on how to get back on track.
Absolutely. It's all about options.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. So we talked about the importance of establishing good credit and reducing high interest debts. Is there anything else that we should consider?
Sure. I think, you know, most people in their 20s, you know, usually their first loan, you know, you mentioned on the deposit side, they have debit cards, and then you graduate maybe to a credit card. And then next is usually an auto loan, you know, that they're going to be looking for, maybe a personal loan or deposit secured loan. And each has unique benefits that can be customized to the individual's specific needs. For example, an auto loan, it can help you purchase your first car or your dream car, while a personal loan can help consolidate those debts, avoid multiple payments with different creditors, and even help keep monthly finances more manageable.
It kind of sounds like a lot.
It does.
They have a lot of responsibility. They're out on their own.
Yeah, education is power, though.
It is. It absolutely is. And I take it as a compliment that we're here to help them. And we have all of those experts in place that if they have any questions, we can help guide them. And we do see that quite a bit. I know Chris talked a lot about if you do take your car to college, you know, just making sure your insurance is in place and are mom and dad still going to be on the loan and, you know, what happens if you have that fender bender. So, right. You know, auto loan is something that I think is very, very familiar to college students.
Oh, absolutely.
So a lot of great tips, Brock. And since we're keeping finances fun here, which is what we do and not boring,
no.
Do you have any interesting facts or trivia for us?
I did.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting. The concept of an auto loan actually dates back to 1919, shortly after cars were invented. So they knew that we needed auto loans right away. Alfred Sloan, the president of General Motors, had introduced the idea to allow consumers to buy cars without the need to pay full price in a lump sum. And these pioneer loans actually required a 35% down payment and the balance to be paid within a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was better than what Ford had in mind. He basically did layaway. Pay a little bit each week, and then you get to pick it up whenever it's all done.
That's pretty big, though, 35% down.
Yeah, I think you could buy cars for $1,000 back then.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that is interesting. Well, I'm glad interest rates as well as down payments have come down through the years. So going back to some of what we can offer our college students, mm-hmm. can we elaborate on how these loans can assist adults?
You know, your credit score is kind of like your financial report card. So my recommendations for someone whenever they're just getting started out, looking at their credit scores, you know, how can I go about improving my score, building my credit? I would say anything that you have that you're taking payments out, making payments to creditors, you know, make sure that you're paying them on time. Any credit cards that you do have, keep those balances under 30%. Monitor your credit report. I think everyone's been a little bit more conscious looking through Credit
right.
Karma or anything else. Even some of the credit card companies offer free credit reports. You're also entitled to one free credit report from each one of the credit bureaus. So you can just go onto their website, request a copy.
Does it matter which one?
Matter which one. Okay. Each individual credit report is legally required to provide you at least one free credit report each year.
Okay. I have a question, though.
Okay.
How come all of the different credit bureaus sometimes have different scores on them?
It's a really good question, actually. So not all financial institutions report to all three major credit bureaus. So the information that they have, so that establishing that credit history, you know, if your first loan was taken out with a financial institution that doesn't report to all three bureaus, then that information is going to be lacking in the other bureaus in order to help calculate that score.
Okay. And then in securing a loan, they generally take, it's not a combination of them, don't they usually take the lowest or highest score?
So 95% of financial institutions use your credit score as the major determining factor of approval, although it can vary from financial institution to financial institution. Industry standard is middle credit score.
All right. So that's all great information. I always wondered about why they reported different scores, and I didn't really know.
No, that's a really good question.
So what are some other financial habits that you can cultivate?
Sure. First and foremost, I would say make sure you're aware of where your money goes. Having a budget is key. It can be a fun exercise too. Secondly, develop self-control. You know, avoid impulse purchases. Taking on more debt that you can handle, that's not a good idea. And finally, always maintaining an emergency fund. You know, life is full of surprises, and having a safety net can really help manage those unexpected expenses without adding to your bottom line.
Right.
You know, that hot water heater, that car tire, just be prepared.
And it kind of goes back to that old philosophy. Do you want it or do you need it?
Need it. Want and need.
I know my husband uses that a lot on me. Do you want it or do you really need it? So great. And then as far as you had talked about budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
So how does someone create a budget? Because I think it sounds really easy.
Yeah, I think.
But what are some tools or resources that these graduates can use that will make it so much easier?
Sure. So honestly, I think any type of budget is a good budget in the sense that, you know, like I said, I talk to a lot of people that, you know, whether it's the Netflix, Paramount, you know, all those adding up, all those, I think you had mentioned it. Yeah, I think you had mentioned it before, you know, those little $2.99s.
Yes.
They can really get away from you. So if you're writing it down, you know, putting it on pen and paper, looking at it, whether you're using Excel or pen and paper, anything, you know, just to really get a bird's eye view mm-hmm. of what's going in, what's coming out can be huge.
Absolutely. And then I know a lot of I think you just said Excel, putting it on Excel.
Yep.
Or are you aware of any budgeting apps out there that might be helpful?
You know, I've always just kind of done my own thing. you know, with an Excel, just write, like I said, just writing it down, pen and paper.
Sometimes the simplest is the best method.
Yep. Like I said, whatever you're doing is probably a good habit to be in.
And then revisiting that every month, every quarter?
Depends on what your plans are. You know, if you're planning on buying a car, maybe do it every month, you know, see what you can do there. If you know that you have a big purchase coming up, the more frequent, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe every other month.
I know we're talking a lot about credit cards, and how about personal loans? What would be a primary reason for a student to take out a personal loan?
Sure. Consumer loans can be used for fun things. Maybe it's that ATV that you've always wanted, or maybe you didn't budget properly and one of those unexpected events happened and you had to put something more on a credit card than what you had planned.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a means of paying that back over a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the average interest rate on a credit card is it's getting up there.
Mm-hmm.
So a consumer loan can be a much more affordable, both on reducing interest cost, as well as, you know, just helping you control your monthly costs, you know, going into it. But like I said, it can be for practical reasons. It's a personal loan. So it could be for, you know, a practical thing or something that's maybe a little more fun.
And I think you had mentioned just being smart about paying back your credit. And I think that's another important reason why you should. Because when you do need a personal loan, it makes it that much easier.
Oh, absolutely.
So, absolutely. I know you talked about interest rate on credit cards. What advice, because I know I get mine in the mail probably 10 times a week, all those credit card offers. Just from experience, what suggestions would you say to someone who continually gets all those offers in the mail?
Yeah. So, remember that, you know, we were talking about credit scores earlier. How many open accounts you have impacts your credit score. That's a calculated factor. So you don't want to, like those department store cards, you know, you go to the department store and they offer you that extra 10 or 20% off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to unnecessarily open accounts, close accounts, you know, just to get those little discounts, especially when you're just getting started. When your credit history is short, every little thing can have a really large impact.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of credit inquiries is going to potentially be an early indicator to a creditor that there's something else that might be going on.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people hear this before they go buy a house. Don't go buy a car or let your loan officer know.
Exactly. So any other parting jokes, tips, advice, Brock, for us before we close this podcast out?
Absolutely. So some solid tips. If you know that in the future you're going to be looking for that loan approval, some tips that might help you get there. I'd say make sure you have that 2 years job history. If you don't, maybe have a conversation in advance with a loved one or, you know, someone that you know that would be willing to co-sign a loan for you or with you. Know what that means whenever you're asking them. That's important. Do everything you can. Monitor that credit score. Make sure you have a solid credit score. You know, the higher your credit score, the less interest you're going to pay over your lifetime. So really protecting that credit score, doing everything that you can for that, because over your lifetime can save you tens of thousands of dollars.
All right. Well, Brock, thank you so much. It was a pleasure sharing all of this great information with you. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of our Feeling is Mutual podcast. And as always, be sure to visit our website at www.ffsbweb.com for more details on our consumer loan products and exclusive offers. And of course, we'd always love to hear your thoughts and questions on today's topic. So drop us a line on our social media at FFSB. And we're eager to help you take the reins of your financial future. And until our next podcast, remember, your financial journey is a road trip, not a race. So make wise turns and enjoy the ride. Thanks so much, Brock.
Thank you, Tracy.